Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you know, there was a bit of a wingding in the Dáil when Micheál Martin as Gaeilge accused Mary Lou MacDonald of lying. The Taoiseach, however, denied this, said he accused her of telling an untruth. So what's the difference? Pádraic Walsh is a behavioural scientist and psychologist. Afternoon, Pádraic.
Good evening. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon. Well, obviously, you just got up. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Language shapes things just as much as events do. And the stories that are told around an event can really be influenced by the language. Irish is a great language. Moncal McGon wrote that book, 32 different words that we have for a field. Mm. And we're just trying to figure out how many words there are in Irish for an untruth or for a lie. Now, if I were to say to you that you're telling an untruth, that might be a euphemism, or it might be you're telling porkies, or you're telling a fib, or you're tatuig flaigeacht, you know, you're messing.
Yeah.
That has a different moral connotation to something that's a lie, that's perjury, that's fraud. One is an active creation of a new narrative. So you think about a lie, we think this is an active process, and we view that very differently morally to something that's maybe passive, that we've left something out, that we haven't done anything. I'll give you an example. There's a really common thought experiment right now that's using to test AI. It's called the trolley experiment. If I were to say to you, Sean, there's a train with five people on it and it veers into a fork. And if you pull the lever, what's going to happen is the train is going to go across and it's going to kill one person who's lying on the track. But if you do nothing, if you don't touch the lever, those five people are going to go off the track. So in one case, you've done nothing, five people die. In the other, you've been active in that process and one person's died. What would you do?
That's quite an old thing, the trolley problem.
It really
but it's always surprising how many people let the five people die.
Correct.
Because they just don't want to be responsible. And they think they're not responsible for doing that thing. But at the same time, Pádraic, there's a cup there. If I said to you, this cup is full of my urine, now that's objectively not true. So you can call it an untruth, or are you messing, or phrase it any way you want, but it's the same thing as a lie, surely.
Absolutely. But when we talk about stimuli,
I'm going to wee into my cup now just to prove my point.
And a stimuli go, that's quite a very telling stimulus. But the way we respond to something and the narrative that's creative is down not just to the stimulus, the urine in the cup or the not urine in the cup, but it's also down to the perception that's created around that. And that's something that I suppose politicians and parents are really aware of. The story that's told around an event can be very important. Let's say your dog dies and you create a narrative that the dog has gone to heaven and you just justify that morally as a white lie. Mm. You know, it's almost the same as the utilitarian viewpoint of untruths, that if you're telling an untruth to the public but it justifies a moral good, maybe that's just as justifiable as telling an outright lie in certain respects.
Sure.
But the creation of the story is something that we would view morally corrupt, because the cognitive effort that's been put into that, the amount of subterfuge required is much greater than just not telling me the story about your urine in the car.
Yeah, if people just tuned in, Pádraic Walsh is a psychologist. He came in here. First thing he did was pee into a cup. we're all very shocked. But in the specific context of Micheál Martin now, and he did use an Irish idiom, which and it can be translated in various ways. In that context, that's a bit of a Jesuitical distinction.
We could get into real academic thoughts here, you know, that there is a small distinction. What he did do was take advantage of the different nuances that exist from language to language.
Yeah.
And of course, the fact that the Cán Chóra didn't speak Irish, which is,
yeah,
you know, not great
in my
view.
A snaky one, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty snaky one. And then being able to backward track that with a euphemism. An untruth, is it less than a lie? It's the absence, and it's the absence of the full truth rather than the active creation of something different. But we tell ourselves these lies all the time, Sean.
Yeah. Oh no, of course we do. Yeah, we would all justify those things. But though, I suppose in that instance, that's like there are witnesses there. It's been recorded. We all know what happened. But if you get to the point where this thing happened, like, it's kind of Donald Trumpy.
It's,
you know,
a little bit like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I said this. No, I didn't. You know, that's beyond the kind of small ways we might deceive ourselves. That's kind of, I can get into mass delusion.
We certainly could. But even when we go back to thinking about ourselves. We delude ourselves every single day, you know, with and you know, the research that has been done, let's say, by the likes of, you know, Dan Ariely and Francesco Gino, who, ironically enough, have been researching fraud and researching lies and are being investigated for that themselves in their research.
Oh, dear.
But what they'll find is, or some of their findings, questionable or not, is that we will try and fool ourselves ever so slightly as we go through our day, that we will, we'll almost have a self-serving bias in terms of the lies that we will tell ourselves. They're like, not too much that it's outrageous, but not too little. And I suppose what you saw on the doll last week was something that potentially was outrageous. But of course, when you can justify it cross in a bilingual way, you know, it's certainly a self-serving bias being produced and very obvious to anyone who saw it.
Yeah. Do we all need those things, though? Leaving aside Micheál Martin, but just to get ourselves through the day. If we were to contemplate the cold, hard reality of our the meaninglessness of our humdrum existence, that might be too much for us.
Like, we all have a set of values, and lots of us predominantly want to see ourselves as honest, moral, ethical individuals, okay? But life isn't always like that. And there are times where I could text you and I could say, Sean, look it, I'm on my way. I could be in the shower, I could be in a towel, I could be peeing in a cup. Who knows what I'm doing, Sean, right? But it's a little white lie to keep things going. Now, if I take that too seriously, if I experience this cognitive dissonance that in fact I'm committing perjury, fraud and telling you lies, that's too much for us, too much discomfort for us to actually cope with. So quite often what we will do is we will create some sort of justification for ourselves in these what we might call ethical lapses, right? But if essentially what we will be doing is trying to bridge that gap between what we're doing and how we see ourselves, that cognitive dissonance that exists.
Porrick, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us today. That was Porrick Walsh, their behavioural scientist and psychologist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.